Good morning, everyone. Happy November 1st. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Friday, November 1st, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 56, the fourth paragraph, starting with, "This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed," through that one paragraph ending with, "He lives in conscious companionship with his creator." Comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., the 12 Traditions, Barbara W., reader of the text is Penny L.C., reader of page 164 will be Jody E., and we will get a backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, October 31st, the 10 a.m. meeting is 21,878. That's 21878. And for this morning, Friday, November 1st, the 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID number is 21,880, 21880. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Good morning, everyone. Happy November. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Laura, for your service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thanks so much. I will now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. This is Barbara W. from New Jersey, and happy November to everyone. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, but they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership for us is the desire to stop overeating compulsively. Number six, each group should be autonomous except matters affecting other groups on OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still are suffering. 6. An OA group ought to never be financially lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of property and will pervert us and divide us for our own primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA is such ought to never organize, but we may create a service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no outside opinions or issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn. 11, our public related policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public mediated communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritually foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara W. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is a year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 56, the fourth paragraph, starting with this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, through that one paragraph ending, he lives in conscious companionship with his creator. Comments will be on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading and get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for your service and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. In a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through the years were swept away. He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. For the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. And this is in response to the question, who are you to say there is no God, that comes just prior to this, that was thought-provoking for him. And that always brings me to the story about this man, and it continues through in the back of the book, the same phrases found on page 215. Who are you to say there is no God? And the paragraph that refers to this paragraph says, I tumbled out of bed onto my knees. I know not what I say, but slowly a great peace comes to me. I feel lifted up. I believe in God. I crawl back into bed and sleep like a child. And the reason I'm adding that comparison of the two paragraphs is because what I see simply bottom line is this gentleman's willingness to consider a higher power and his openness to that higher power. And in that way, he is prepared to receive input from his higher power. And that therein lies the difference. Instead of throwing up blockages, allowing all of that to come down and to reflect on the possibility that he too could have a higher power that would work for him. And I know that that's what I had to do. I had a concept of a higher power, but it didn't work for me. I had to release that concept, be open and willing to find a higher power that I could relate to. And that was able to occur, and I was able to consider what that meant to me and how that my higher power conception needed to work in my life, in my understanding and my beliefs. And having discovered that is when things were able to open up for me in a way that never happened before. And I was able to begin to establish a relationship with a higher power, unlike any other. And therein lies the beginning of. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, please hold back and let others share, and please keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. I'll remind you with a gentle reminder when your time is up. I'll now take a list of names. Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from if you'd like to share. Who would like to share?
Veronica B.
Veronica B., where are you calling from?
California.
Thank you. Next, who would like to share?
McCall S., Massachusetts.
McCall. Is it S. like Sam?
Yes.
Great. Thanks, McCall. Anybody else? I have Veronica B. and McCall S.
Dawn B.
Dawn B.
California.
California. I knew that.
Barbara A., California.
I heard Barbara. Was it Barbara H.?
Barbara A. from California.
Barbara A. from California. And I heard Yvonne.
Leland P. in Germany.
Leland P. in Germany. Great. I'll take one more. Anybody else? All right. That's a great lineup. We're going to start with that. We've got Veronica B. from California, McCall S. from Massachusetts, Dawn B. from California, Barbara A. from California, and Leland P. from Germany. Veronica B., please get us started. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Veronica B. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful to be on the line today. Thank you for your service. Right next to this paragraph, I have, in parentheses, I have here, I am judgmental, critical, and love to live in denial. These are my thoughts every day. But before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, my thinking process, I was very negative. It was all about me. It was all about, you know, what can I do for myself that will better me? I would never take other people's feelings into consideration. It was all about me, me, me. And then I came into Overeaters Anonymous, and I started working these steps, and I learned that I was relying on myself, that everything I did in my life, all the thoughts, all my actions were based around my thinking process and me relying on self. And, you know, this paragraph tells me that I have a choice today. I really have no choice other than to create a relationship with a God of my understanding, with something that's bigger than me, because apparently my way of thinking and living was not working because I was relying on self. But this tells me, no, I get a choice today. I can choose God. I can choose a higher being in me that has worked for millions of other people, because you can see the evidence. I see the evidence all around me working for them, and maybe this could work for me. And I just took a leap of faith, and I worked these steps, and I got a relationship with the God of my understanding. And, you know, it's so overwhelming to read, you know, that he was overwhelmed with the conviction of the presence of God. Like, there's moments, you know, I've been recovered since, you know, I've been in OA since 09, but I didn't get food neutrality till 2019. And I get these moments where I feel overwhelmed with, like, I feel God in my heart. I feel him all around me. I feel like I have this protection being around me. And that's when I am, you know, in God's will. That's when I choose to forgive people that have hurt me. I choose to go out and do for others in the day. That's when I feel God all around me. But when I'm in self-reliance, when I'm being selfish and dishonest, that's when I'm suffering. So today I get to choose God. I get to choose his path. I get to choose love. I get to choose forgiveness. I get to choose to try to do the right thing regardless of anybody's watching me. Because those are the things that really keep me on the path of connecting with God and staying and feeling God's presence. And I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude today, and that I know what the solution is, and the answers are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and with that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica B. from California. Up next is McCall S. from Massachusetts, followed by Dawn B. Good morning, McCall.
Hi, good morning. I'm McCall. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I guess I'm recovered today, not cured, but I have been through the 12 steps, and I'm very grateful for that. But I had this awareness the other day. I was listening to a meeting, and there was a share, and I had just been feeling this kind of low-lying hum, like the food thoughts were coming in, and I was sharing about it, and others were saying, like, no, I don't really have food thoughts. So then the shame was coming in. What am I doing wrong? And then at just the share, I was like, oh gosh, like, this is for me. I'll just speak for me. Like, it's work on a daily basis. Like, so I'm glad to be participating in my recovery. And I love the shares already. You know, I do have a choice today. I am choosing to participate in my recovery. And so what I hear in this reading is a clear example that of someone coming to believe, and that if it could happen to this person, it could happen to me. And it has, like, this is hope. Sometimes I feel the presence of God a little bit more, that feeling of being overwhelmed. And sometimes I don't. And I was in a lot of, you know, the fear can come and go, and that's where I can get a little bit questioning. And so, yeah, do I need to make my God bigger? You know, I'm not limited. I'm only limited by my disease and my thinking. So I just love the possibility of opening my mind and my heart to something bigger. And with that, I'll pass. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, McCall S. from Massachusetts. Up next is Dawn B. from California, followed by Barbara A. Hi, Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California. Great to be here today. Wow. I love this paragraph. So this man... We hear right before this, you know, who are you to say there is no God? And then tumbling out of bed to his knees, overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. And I love the imagery here. It talks about, it's like the imagery of water rushing in. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. Barriers he had built through the years were swept away. So it's like rushing water, rushing in. And he stood in the presence of infinite power and love. Wow. He had stepped from bridge to shore. For the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. This is so beautiful. And beside this paragraph, I have written down, the big book promises that by working the steps, what is blocking me from my higher power will be removed. And that just, you know, reminds me of that flush of water, the rush of water coming in and removing all those barriers that I built up in my heart between me and God. You know, thinking, well, God's not there. God doesn't, you know, care about me. God doesn't care about my food. You know, God is separate. God is all powerful, but doesn't care about me. And through the steps, you know, that all these blocks will be removed and keep that all these blocks that I've built up that keep me from experiencing God. And the big book promises that God will enter my life and give me sanity. And what a beautiful experience these steps are, just a washing away every day, not just one time, every day a washing away of any barrier that might be, I might have, you know, constructed to keep me from God, any of my resentments, any of my fears, and how God just washes through and pushes all those things away as we work the steps and clears the way so we can experience, you know, face-to-face the presence of infinite love, infinite power. And every day I can do this. I can seek God's presence as I meditate, just sitting in silence, thinking of myself just sitting in the presence of infinite love. It's a beautiful thing. And a member shared with me that sometimes she can, you know, reach her arms up and say, up, up, just like a little child, you know, asking their parent to pick them up. I do that, you know, just raise my hands up to God and say, up, up, like a little child. And it just brings me to tears. Beautiful. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Dawn B. from California. Up next is Barbara A. from California, followed by Lilan P. in Germany. Hi, Barbara. Good morning.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A. from Central California. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater for today, by the grace of God. Just reflecting on the week and how the faith of just continuously turning to God and asking Him for the right, and you know, for the intercession to be there to help me make my decisions. I really got the feeling in this paragraph from that today is a day that I am recovering from a couple of days of hanging on to some resentment. And by working the steps and listening to this meeting, I learned that the resentment has to be given. I have to say the resentment prayer, of course, but not to call all my fellows and go, well, you know, this is what happened. This is what happened. I really made the decision to ask God, what do I do? And it was clear. I heard it so many times in the meetings. You do not go out and relive that resentment. You call your sponsor. You do your step 10 procedure, however you're going to get rid of that resentment. And that's it. I don't talk about it anymore. And I'm so grateful for that tool. I can't tell you how many times I've had resentment, held on to it, went right back into the food because I felt I had to be justified. I didn't like the way I was feeling. I was resentful. I was angry. But today, by coming to these meetings, listening to how my fellows, you, handle these situations, work the steps, reach out, and really communicate, and bringing God in, all of that has caused such healing and such recovery in this program. I am so grateful to get through another holiday, yesterday, abstinent. I've been in the program many, many years, since 1997. And this is really clearly the second year that I have been abstinent from that craving and that desire to have all the things that are presented during this time of year. I'm just totally neutral by the grace of God, because I prayed for it. I come to the meetings. I look for solutions. I ask questions. I do the steps. I share with sponsees, my sponsor. Yes, this tumbling out of bed and praying, yeah, I've done that, because I just needed so much to have a higher power in my life to direct me because I wasn't doing it. I wasn't making it happen. That self-reliance, that I'm self-reliant, I don't need anybody, wasn't working for me. I know there's people on this line that I have been in your same place thinking, oh, this is just never going to work for me.
That's time,
and
Barbara.
And I just always, thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Barbara. That was Barbara A. from California. And before Lilan P. shares, just a reminder that we're on page 56 of the big book, the fourth paragraph, starting with this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, through that one paragraph ending, he lives in conscious companionship with his creator. And Lilan P. from Germany, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, thanks. Lilan P., recovering compulsive overeater. And I have been so moved by the shares in both the 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. meetings in the past few days surrounding these paragraphs. And I feel like I have been shown why I lost my faith and how I can now recover that faith. I was abstinent for, I had already been abstinent for about 10 years when the calamitous things began to happen to me, and true calamities, true rug pulled out from under me in so many ways. And I struggled with God, and I kept asking God to fix this, make this better. And I was not just asking, I was trying to manifest. I had faith in a transactional God. I didn't know that's what I was doing, and I didn't know that that's where I was going wrong. But I thought, you know, I've worked the steps, I'm absent, I'm a good girl. Why is this happening to me? I was like, this guy, like, if there's a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for, well, I felt like, if there's a God, how is he letting this happen? And I entered into a community of many other women who had these similar calamities, and I just thought, how is God letting this to happen to all of us? And we're not receiving help, we're not. So I just, I was fighting and fighting, and then the only way I found peace was to say, there is no God. There is no God. And when I came back to program this time around in spring, I was like, I don't know how it's going to work. Like, I don't believe in God. I don't know. And, but I just was like, okay, I'm just going to keep showing up. I love these Vision for You meetings. I love breaking down the big book paragraph by paragraph. And here we are. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't work by me saying, hey, this is what I want and you give it to me. And it doesn't work by me saying, well, I'm a good girl, so I deserve it. No, God is with me. God is with me through all the calamity and all the hardships. And what I ask for now, I ask to be absent. I ask for help, but I ask to be of service. And I ask over and over for God's will. And I'm starting to understand God as something I never understood. Like, oh, with every breath, that's God. Every atom in me, every atom around me, that's God. And I feel so new to this and such a baby to this, but I feel like I have these moments now when I pray in the morning, like these mini moments of these tumble out of bed to his knees and overwhelming moments. And then they pass. Thanks. I become agnostic for hours, but then I return, and I am so deeply grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Lilan P. from Germany. Before I take a list of names to share, just a gentle reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We're sharing on page 56, that fourth paragraph. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed through he lives in conscious companionship with his creator. I could probably take like six more. Who would like to share today?
Suze S. from New Jersey.
Suze S. Like Sam? Suze S. from New Jersey.
Suze S. like Sam from New Jersey. Thank you.
Got it, Suze. Thank you.
Joan.
Who else?
Patricia.
Joan Marie M., and I know you're from Nevada. And who else?
Yes, thank you.
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina.
Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Who else?
Nancy L., Arizona.
Nancy L. from Arizona. Gotcha. Anybody else? We have time.
Christine B. like boy, California.
Christine B. like boy from California. All right, let's stop there and see where we are. Got Suze S. from New Jersey, Joan Marie M. from Nevada, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina, Nancy L. from Arizona, and Christine B. from California. Suze S., you're up first. Thank you.
Hi, this is Suze S. from New Jersey, and there's just been a lot of things going on in my life, which is pretty cool, because then I don't get to obsess about any one. So there, I can add that to my gratitude list. It seems kind of strange, but it's true, because I can pick something apart for ages. Okay, well, lately I guess I've sort of tumbled out of my bed. Growing up in a certain just sect, I spent a lot of time on my knees, but whether I'm on my knees or I'm not on my knees, I see so many amazing things happen. I was in the hospital in 2020 with an appendicitis and peritonitis and all this stuff for 5 days with no food, just a drip and lots of antibiotics because they couldn't clean me up as successfully as my own body could. But they were ready to throw me right into the operating room. But I knew I wasn't going anywhere. People now tell me, oh, well, people die of peritonitis, don't they? I never felt like I was going to die. And I actually comforted my loved ones and told them, I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry about me, you know. But today, because of the things that have been going on in my life, I question higher power. It's like, where are you? And higher power is right here. It's like, I have to notice. I have to leave the door open. I have to be available. Higher power is always here. I have to leave that door, that window, that pause open. From my sponsor, I got, if you feel stuck somewhere, take the action at that junction. Whatever it is, jobs, steps, and even not thinking about these personal relationships, feel free and be open to new experiences. If I'm not, I'm not available to higher power to bring in those new things. I'm looking for a job. How could I possibly have the energy to contemplate what is going on with a new job if I'm constantly tied up with why did he do that? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? I still have to have feelings. I still process my feelings. But the other thing that I kind of forget to do is to give them the higher power. I don't have to do this alone. This is a higher power, and it's been proven to me over and over again. I woke up this morning, saw something that a post that on LinkedIn that somebody, a general counsel in a company that I had applied for, had looked at me a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh my God.
That's a reminder.
Thank you. He saw that, and I actually sent him a note. And it wouldn't be possible if my head was still full of why is my life like this. So anyway, that's what I have to say, and I pass. Thank you so much for your service.
Thanks, Suze S. from New Jersey. Up next is Joan Marie M. from Nevada, followed by Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, powerful, powerful, powerful. I love it. I just love this meeting. I love the shares. Wow, anytime anybody talks about an infinite power of love and grace, my ears just perk up. And God gave us an imagination, and as someone, a fellow, spoke about that, it was about I can imagine myself going into his throne room of mercy and grace, and he's sitting on this big throne, and he reaches down and he picks me up and puts me on his lap. That is so comforting for me. So I use my imagination a lot. And the most important thing for me is my conscious contact with God, because I know in myself my own thoughts sometimes are not very well. And I think, God, I don't like that. Help me not to think that way. Help me not to speak that way. Help me to do your will today. And it's as simple as that, but it's not easy because my will wants to get in the way at times. But I give in my will to God. And with that, I pass. Thank you for all your beautiful, beautiful shares that helped me.
You're Thanks, John Marie M. from Nevada. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. You're up next.
Thank you. Wow. Listening just to the last couple of shares, it's like, holy smack, because that's exactly how I was feeling. And I'm not trying to crosstalk, but just 10 minutes ago, it's like, why is my life like this, Lord? It's like every time I turn around, something more is wrong. And it's, oh, my word. What? The, and I just started crying. I'm driving down the road. And, you know, life is, I saw on a little cartoon, a peanut cartoon, I think it was, or some cartoon, just like life is hard, and the other person says, what are you comparing it to? And I have to really take a thought of that because, yes, what am I comparing it to? I have to be grateful, and it's strange because it's like, okay, I, in the midst of all what I'm going through and everything that's not where it needs to be, or where I want it right now in my life, I have to be out here on this beautiful day with the Lord, with this meeting, and be grateful. It's just such a weird thing. It's like, because I'm looking, I'm redoing and remodeling a mobile home that I moved into and that I bought and moved onto my property, and now I'm doing it. And I never thought there was could be so much wrong with something, and I didn't know what to look for when I bought it. And oh my word! And winter's coming, and all these fears, and I'm by myself, and I have to do all this work by myself, which I'm capable of doing, but it's so much of it. It's like, oh my, why is my life like this? Well, because I guess I chose this, even though I prayed through it. I chose this, and I don't know. Did I, you know, I try to seek the Lord on everything and seek his will on everything. Yeah, so I don't know. All I know is I'm tired. It's time for a nap. I get up at 4:30 now every day, and I have to rest during the day because I got to go back to work. And I'm working with children, which I'm loving it, loving it. Yeah, so there's a lot of good in my life. There is a lot of good. And I know all of it's God. And why is this happening? Well, because another trial comes to make us. Make us what? Well, for me, it's to make us me more like Christ, is that I don't let anything of this world bother me. And it's, yeah, it's quite the life, yeah. Okay, thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Patricia Andy from North Carolina. And just a reminder that we're on page 56 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, this paragraph 4, this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed. And we are next going to hear from Nancy L. from Arizona, followed by Christine B. Good morning, Nancy.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Nancy recovered in Arizona. Yeah, I used to say things like this guy, you know, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. I'm hearing a lot of buzzing. I don't know what that is, but anyway, can you hear it?
I can hear you. I don't hear any buzzing, though.
Okay, very good. Thank it stopped. Thank you anyway. Thank you. So now, you know, the presence of God is so strong in my life, especially when I wake up in the morning and I don't have that guilt and shame anymore. This time of year really reminds me of what I used to do was, I would run out to the store and somebody's not muted. That's probably the problem.
I would run out to the store November the 1st to buy all the candy I could find half price because it was going to go in my daughter's pinata. Her birthday was coming up like maybe in 3 weeks from today. So I had all this candy down in the basement that was going in the pinata. Well, 2 days before her birthday, I'd have to go out and buy it all over again and pay full price. Because why? Because Nancy had to go down there in while she's doing her laundry and just take a bite or two. And, you know, it was just such a busted strategy. Every year I would say, I'm not doing that again. No, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to buy the half price candy, but it's going to go in the pinata this time and not into me, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I was just living a life to please myself, but not anymore. I thank God that he has lifted the merciless desire for the candy and the behavior, and he's placed a new heart in me, and I'm very grateful for that. Sorry for stumbling all around. I pass.
Thanks, Nancy L. from Arizona. Up next is Christine B. from California. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, good morning. I'm using a headset that I worry about the audio quality on. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, good deal. So this is Christine B., recovering compulsive overeater. I heard such excellent shares today. I don't know if I have anything to add on that front, but I've been praying for God to give me the words because I feel like I want to share here. So hopefully God agrees. I'm looking at the paragraph again. And it poured over him. I'm sorry. It poured over and through him. With the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood, the barriers he had built through years were swept away. And I thought about that as I was listening to shares. And at a meeting, an OA meeting I was at last night when we were reviewing step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I came into program thinking I was an atheist. But I was also coming in the program incredibly miserable and desperate. Therefore, I was motivated. So I'm like, okay, I'm open to something bigger than me. And I soon realized there's lots of things that are bigger than me. I should do this. But last night, I realized, and I think I've known it all along since being in this program, but it hit me fully last night. This program is simple but not easy, but it's simple in terms of came to believe a power greater than myself, and I just, like, I've heard it a gazillion times, but I finally put it together. The recovery in OA is a power greater than myself, like the recovered fellowship. And I believe in that, and that can restore me to sanity. And the reason I know this and I have faith in this is because I'm not unique. I am one of many people in this program, and if I work this program earnestly and honestly, cover too. I get to just be like one of the people that recovers. So going back to this paragraph, the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood, the barriers you have built through the years are swept away. Somehow that thought hit me like, yeah, I can do this. It's simple but not easy, of course. But and I know other fellows in this program are just like me, not unique. We get to be here, and if we do our part, whatever our power that's greater than ourselves will see us through, and we get to recover. And with that, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Christine B. from California. We have time for two-minute shares. Would anybody like to take 2 minutes?
Tom from California.
Tom from California. What's the last, the first initial of your last name, Tom?
L is in Lima.
Thank you, Tom L. Anybody else? All right, Tom, why don't you take 3 minutes? Go ahead.
Oh, wow, thank you. I'm Tom L. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've had a recent run-in with my higher power. He never barges in when he's not wanted. It's only when I'm out of every other option. I've been sober and Overeaters Anonymous and at a normal weight for about 3 years, sober over 3 years. for which I'm very grateful because my food addiction is very, very strong and it takes everything. And I have spent big chunks of that time on meetings, on this meeting, making calls, working with a sponsor, reading the big book, which is full of treasures, if I only look. But something horrible happens when I am engaged in recovery. I feel better. And there's something in me that goes, oh, I feel better. I'm going to do something else. And I drift away. And I have found for myself, whatever I drift into, and thank God it was not the food, I will abuse it. And I will make myself miserable and hurt those around me. And for the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, that's what I did. And I hit bottom again. That's the thing about addiction is you hit bottom. You can't just cruise along. And I'm addicted to, you know, whatever I turn my hand to, except focusing on recovery and seeking. And I loved how many people put it today. God is right here. He's always here. I use he. I don't know why. The presence is here. If I have nothing else to focus on and I'm not stoned, he just shows up. And then I notice that I keep drifting away from him and the steps are to help me move back toward him. And in the center of recovery is immense comfort. And I heard it yesterday, around the edges, very painful. And I zip off. But today I am in recovery. My job is to stay awake today. I can't stay awake spiritually a week from now. I have to do it today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom L. from California. We've got about 1 minute. Would anybody like to take a 1 minute share? Anybody want a minute? Burning desire? Okay. Then we are going to close the meeting. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. from California please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. So very grateful to be recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.